Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is an honor to be with you this morning. So thankful that Pastor David invited me a while back. And thank you for, I've never been anywhere before that's 196 years old too. Y'all look good. Well, most of you do anyway, you know. You look good. You look good. Since I last saw you, which has been since May, I guess, we bought our home in Rutherford County, which is about 2 hours from here. And the greatest joy of going home again is spending time with our grandkids. I am loving that. And as long as I've been a pastor, been moving from place to place, we haven't gotten to spend a lot of time with our family and our grandkids. And this past week, Wanda and I went to elementary school and had lunch with our grandkids. And that was a blessing. God has been good to us. And God is being good to you. And I am so thankful to be a part of this special worship service this morning, and thank you. I know God is doing a great work here. I kind of keep up with you as much as I can, and I know God is doing some great work here. You know, the wonderful thing about being 196 years old is that God's presence, as you said, is here today. And this morning when I walked through the doors were open. You know what that means, don't you? That means that God's not through with you yet. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how far in the past you've been. God still has a great future for you because the door's open. And sadly, we can't say that about a lot of churches. Sadly, there's churches that are closing every week. But thankfully, the doors of Liberty Baptist Church is still open. And God still has a purpose for you. God still has a plan for you in this community, in this county, in this area, through Pastor David, through the congregation here. God's not finished with you yet. And you got to remember that. You got to hang on to that because, as I said, Satan is doing everything he can to close churches today. He's doing everything he can to discourage Christians. And we have a lot of Christians today that really and truly their attitudes and the way they present themselves in the world is no different than the world. And so we need Christians today. David needs Christians in this church today who are on fire for God, living for God, not afraid to live out their Christian faith. And you know, when you read through the Bible, I hope that you don't just say, well, I read through the Bible, and that's it. I hope that you'll continue to read over and over and over through the Scripture, because when you do that, you may find something this time reading through that you didn't get the first time or the second time or the third time that you read through. Now, I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to a couple of places. I want you to turn over to Joshua chapter 14. Put your bulletin there. Joshua chapter 14. And then once you mark that, I want you to turn over to Numbers chapter 14. Because in Numbers chapter 14, there is something here that if you're not careful in your reading, you may just skip right over it. It may be something that you read over and over and over. And let's be honest, sometimes we love Genesis. Exodus is pretty exciting, but Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, you know, those are the kind of scripture passages sometimes we just kind of skim through. But there's an amazing verse of scripture here in Numbers chapter 14, and it's in verse 24. Notice what the verse says here. It says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went. Now, if you just read through, you may skip the main part of that. But notice again what it says here. But my servant Caleb, because what? Because he has a different spirit within him. You know, in my scripture reading, I don't know if that's ever said about anybody else. I can't think of another place, another person that the Bible says that God says, this guy has a different spirit about him. And I got to thinking about that. What does it mean to have a different spirit about you? Because as I said, as we look at society today, if we look at culture today, our churches are not making a difference. Somewhere down the line, we've bought into this idea, well, as long as I'm a Christian, and as long as I go to church occasionally, as long as I don't ruffle anybody's feathers, and as long as I stay on the straight and narrow, everything will be okay. But look at the world today, look at society today, look at our state today, look at our area today, because Christians are trying to stay on the straight and narrow. We're not making a difference. We're not making an impact. We believe that if I can just be a normal, nominal Christian. But I want to remind you today, being normal, being a casual Christian today is not going to make an impact in our society. Being a nominal Christian, not standing out, not being radical, not ruffling any feathers, not getting involved in this or that, we're not making a difference. And we look at society today, and I put a lot of blame on Christians today because we allow things to happen and we haven't done anything about it. We need Christians today that has a different kind of spirit about them. Liberty Baptist Church needs Christians today, need congregants today that has a different kind of spirit about them. Pastor David needs people that will come up beside him and with a different kind of spirit about him. So that as God tarries, and we don't know how long God's going to tarry. We don't know how long it's going to be before God bursts forth through the clouds and says, church, it's time to go home. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Singing about Beulah Land today, and I know, David, you're still preaching on Revelation. You know, I'm ready to go. But until God calls us home, we still have a purpose and we still have a plan that God has given to us. And we need to be people with a different kind of spirit. Now, again, as I said, I wondered about Caleb. What was it that gave him that different kind of spirit? What made him different than everyone else? Well, there's three things this morning. If you will, turn over to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 14. I want you to see three things this morning that really, what I really believe, made Caleb different than anyone else. That gave him a different kind of spirit. And maybe this morning you will leave here today and say, you know, I want to be like Caleb. I want to be like Caleb. I want to be a man. I want to be a woman with a different kind of spirit. What does it constitute? What does it make? Look at the first thing in Joshua chapter 14 and in verse 6. I would say Caleb had a steadfast belief in God. Caleb had a steadfast belief in God. Look at verse 6, chapter 14. The scripture says, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. Now, what is he talking about there? If you go back to the scripture, you will remember that there was a time when Moses sent out the 12 spies, remember? And Caleb and Joshua was two of the 12. And they went out to explore the land that God had planned to give them. And Moses said, I want you to go out. I want you to spy out the land. I want you to come back and give us a report concerning the land. And so the 12 spies went out, the 12 spies came back in, and 10 of the 12 gave this report. Man, it's a great land. It's a land that's flowing with milk and honey, and there's all kind of fruit, and there's all kind of trees. There's all kind of, it's just lush, it's wonderful, it's beautiful, but there are fortified cities in this land. There's giants in this land, and there is no way that we could ever take this land. We're sunk. We can't go any further. There's no way we can go and take that land. But then Caleb and Joshua got up before the people, and they said the same thing. They said, yes, you're right. It is a land flowing with the milk and honey. It is a land that is lush and green and all kinds of trees, all kinds of fruit. And yes, there are fortified cities in that land. Yes, there are giants in this land. But God promised us this land. And if God promised us this land, God is going to give us this land. See, all the other spies came back with a negative report. But Joshua and Caleb, they trusted God. They believed in what God said. And I believe they had that steadfast faith in God that whatever God said he was going to do, God was going to do it. But because of the disobedience of the people, for 40 years they had to wander in the desert. They had to wander in the wilderness. And guess what? Caleb had to wander in the wilderness too. And if anyone had the right to complain, Caleb did, wouldn't he? I mean, if Caleb could have said, God, this isn't fair. God, I believed in you, and God, I trusted in you, and God, I knew that you would give us this land, but he didn't. The same thing that the multitude, the same thing that the people had to go through, Caleb had to go through it. He had to eat the same kind of food. He had to fight off the same kind of gnats. He had to deal with the same kind of heat and the same kind of cold. But he never complained. Nowhere in the Bible do you ever find Caleb complaining. And again, it's because of this. He believed that God was going to do what God said he was going to do. Because God told Caleb, because you trusted in me, because you have a different kind of spirit in me, I'm going to give you that land. You're going to step foot in that land because you believed and you trusted. Caleb believed. He had a faith in God. And see, I want to ask you this morning, what about your faith? Do you have the kind of faith that you're willing to step out in faith and to trust God and willing to take a risk for God? See, that's what we so desperately need today. We need believers today that's willing to take a risk, to take a chance. You know, somewhere I read years ago that said, you know, in every church, there's three kinds of people. And I'm convinced there's three kinds of people in our church, in your church today, David. They are the caretakers. There's caretakers. And you know what a caretaker is? Caretaker is someone that keeps things steady. We want to keep things flowing. We're going to take care of things, and we're just going to be caretakers. Now, I'm not asking for you to raise your hand. I don't want you to embarrass yourself, because I did this one time before, and I had people bragging because they were caretakers. Are you a caretaker? Because if you're not a caretaker, secondly, you might be an undertaker. An undertaker is someone just waiting to bury the church. They're just waiting for the church to die. You know, it's people like that will say, I don't care what people think. I don't care what people do. Listen, it's going to be my way or no way. And if the church dies, then the church will just die. But it's going to be my way. And we have a lot of undertakers in the churches today. And if you're not careful, a caretaker will eventually become an undertaker. And so we have caretakers, we have undertakers, but I wonder, David, how many folks we have today that are risk takers? People who are willing to step out in faith because God said it and I believe it. Because God is leading us to do this. And if no one else is willing to go with me, if no one else is willing to stand with me, I'm willing to take a stand. I'm willing to go if no one else goes with me. Though no one go with me, yet I will still follow. I will still follow. You know, our Bible had over 8,000, I think like 8,800 or more promises of God that's in your Bible. And over 7,500 of those promises speak directly to mankind, to you. God has given you all kinds of promises. And those promises have either already been fulfilled, they are being fulfilled today, or they will be fulfilled in the future. But God is a God who cannot lie. And every promise that God has made, He will fulfill those promises. But what we need is people who are willing, as Caleb, to have that steadfast belief in God that even though things don't look good, even though things look bleak, even though I don't know what's going to happen, God said it, I believe it, and I'm going to trust God to make it happen. We need people with a different kind of spirit. We need people with the spirit of Caleb that has that steadfast belief in God. But I believe there's a second characteristic of Caleb that showed that he had a different kind of spirit, and that was that Caleb had a serious burden for God. Caleb had a serious burden for God. Look at verse 8 of chapter 14. Scripture said, nevertheless, and this is, it said, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me, this is Caleb speaking, who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. See, Caleb said, I have trusted in God, I have faith in God, and I have totally committed myself to God. I am wholly following the Lord my God. Now, is he speaking the truth? It's easy for us to say that, isn't it? It's easy for us to get up and say, well, I am trusting God, I am fully following God, I have completely sold out to God. Any of us can say that, but are we telling the truth? Was Caleb telling the truth? Well, look again at verse 9. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever. Why? Because you have fully or wholly followed the Lord my God. See, not only did Caleb say, God, I've truly followed you. Moses backed it up. Moses says he's telling the truth. Caleb has truly, totally, wholly followed God. But now, was Moses telling the truth? Was Moses telling the truth? Look over, if you will, at verse 14. It says, Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite on this day. Now this is Joshua speaking, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. See, not only did Caleb say that he was truly following God, not only did Moses back it up, but even Joshua backed it up as well. That here was a man named Caleb who not only had a steadfast belief in God, but he had a serious burden for God. That there was a time in Caleb's life, and we don't know when it was. It might have been when he was just a little boy. It might have been as he was growing older, but there was a time in Caleb's life when he made a decision that, God, I am going to follow you. God, I'm going to commit myself to you, wholly surrender to you, and everything that I have, I'm giving to you. Wherever you lead, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I will do that, but I am completely and absolutely surrendering myself to you, completely, totally, in all that I have. And I want to ask you this morning, have we done that? Have we committed ourselves fully and wholly and totally to God? See, something I've learned in my life, and maybe you have too, or maybe you've read, I'm sure Pastor David has shared this with you before. But listen, half-hearted commitment to God, half-hearted commitment to God is the same as wholehearted rebellion. Half-heartedness is the same as full rebellion against God. You know, I'm reminded in the book of Malachi when the prophet Malachi said to the children of Israel, you're serving me with the leftovers of your life. You're only giving me the leftover. You're not giving me the best. You're not giving me your best time, your best energy, your best tithe, your best offering. You're giving me the leftovers that you have in your life. And God wasn't pleased with that. And God's not pleased with us when we only give him what we don't give to someone else. Now, I know life is busy. I know there's a lot of things in life, and life gets in the way of a lot of things. But listen, Jesus doesn't want to be one of your priorities. He wants to be the priority above everything else. And Caleb understood that. Caleb understood that he needed to give God everything. Everything. And anything less than that is an insult to God. You know, I love peach cobbler. I love peach cobbler. I'm going to tell you. I mean, if I ain't never told you before, let me tell you again. I love peach cobbler. And, you know, if you decide one day to invite us back, and you're going to fix us a meal, invite us to eat, and you know that he loves peach cobbler, and you make a big plate or a bowl or a dish or a gallon jug, whatever, a peach cobbler, and you say, Bobby, I got you some peach cobbler. And you know, I see my dog drooling every once in a while, you know. And that's probably what's going to happen. And then I sit down at that table and you say, here comes the peach cobbler. And you got this big old bowl. And then I got to look down in it and find the peach cobbler. You give me like a half a bowl? When you got all that sitting over here? Mm-mm. When you bring me peach cobbler, I want the whole bowl. And when we say we love the Lord, God wants our love. God wants our devotion. He says what? You shall love the Lord your God, how? With all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. Not half-heartedly. See, Caleb understood that. He had a serious burden for God. In 1872, a man by the name of D.L. Moody was in England, and he heard a man speak by the name of Henry Varley. And Henry Varley spoke these words that D.L. Moody never forgot. And these were the words. He said, the world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in and by the man who is fully and wholly concentrated to him. And D.L. Moody said, I want to be that man. I want to be that man. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe this morning if we're going to be people with a different spirit just like Caleb, we got to be people that not only has a steadfast belief in God, we got to be people that have a serious burden for God, that we are completely, totally committed to him in all that we are, in all that we are. Not half-heartedly, not just going through the motions, but fully committed to him. Caleb was a man with a different spirit. Steadfast belief in God, a serious burden for God. Caleb also had a strong boldness for God. He had a strong boldness for God. Look at verses 11 and 12, if you will. The scriptures say, and this is Caleb speaking, and yet I'm as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then and now it is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakims were there and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I will be able to drive them out as the Lord said. He had a serious boldness. He was willing to take a risk because he knew that God had made him a promise. And here he was 85 years old. It's been 45 years since God told them before he went out and saw the promised land. 45 years. And here is Caleb, 85 years old now. He still never lost his passion. He still didn't lose the dream. He still wanted that mountain. And the reason he wanted that mountain was because that's the same mountain that God told him he could take 45 years ago. Caleb said, if God told me I could do it 45 years ago, I can do it today, even at the age of 85. So when all the other Hebrew retirees were sitting back drawing Hebrew Social Security, he wanted that mountain. He wanted to climb that mountain because he believed that mountain was what God wanted him to take. And he wanted that. And he had a serious bonus. He had a bonus that no one else had. And David, that's what we need, isn't it? We need to surround ourselves with people with a bonus for the Lord. With a bonus for the Lord. I read the story a while back, well, it's been several years ago now, of a family that had twins. But those twin boys were completely different from each other. One of the boys were, man, he was rambunctious. He was into everything. I mean, if he could get into it, he was into it. But the other one was kind of shy, a little bit backwards. He kind of wanted to stay in the house. He was kind of maybe like a mother, mama's boy. And so they couldn't understand why they were so different. And so the parents decided, we're going to take the kids and have them checked out by a psychiatrist. And so they did. And so the psychiatrist said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take the little boy who's shy, the little boy who's backward, the little boy who seems to be afraid and timid, and we're going to put him in this room full of toys. And they were bicycles, they were skateboards, they were roller skates, they were all kinds of toys in that room. He said, you go in here and you just have a good time. And they took the other little boy that was so outgoing, so eager to get into things, and they put him in a room with nothing in there but a box of manure. Just a box of manure. He says, okay, this is your room. So after about 15, 20 minutes, they went back to check on the boys, and they went back to the little boy that had the room full of toys, and the little boy was sitting on the step. He was crying. He had tears in his eyes. He was weeping. The bicycle hadn't been touched. The roller skates hadn't been touched. The skateboard hadn't been touched. And the doctor asked him, what's wrong? He said, I was afraid I might get hurt, and I didn't want to get hurt with nobody here with me. So I didn't mess with anything. We went over to the other room, where the little boy was with just a box of manure. And they opened up that door, and I want to tell you what, there was manure everywhere. It was on the ceiling, it was on the walls, it was on the floor. Everything in that room was covered with manure. And they looked, that little boy was in that box, and he was just a digging, and he was covered with manure. And the doctor asked him, said, son, what is going on? He said, sir, with this much manure, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. Can I tell you something? I know this kind of sounds crude, but sometimes life is like manure. But you know what? If we keep digging, there might be a pony in there somewhere. And that's the kind of people, listen, that's the kind of people I want to be around. People that's willing to keep digging and digging, even though it doesn't look good, even though it looks kind of smelly, even though I don't see anything coming out of it, I know there's something there. I know I'm going to keep digging. I'm going to keep looking. I'm going to keep hoping. I'm going to keep believing. A strong bonus that I'm not going to stop when it gets hard. I'm not going to stop because it's difficult. I'm going to keep going. Those are the kind of people that needs to constitute Liberty Baptist Church, people with a strong bonus that says maybe it doesn't look good today, but there's tomorrow. And if we keep digging, I know we're going to find that pony. We're going to find that blessing that God has for us. We're not giving up. And see, that's the kind of person I think Caleb was. Even though it didn't look good, Caleb said, I'm not giving up. God promised me that mountain. And I don't want, listen, I don't want some hidden valley. I don't want some little tame land. I want that mountain with those giants on it. Because God promised that to me. He had a man that had a different kind of spirit. A steadfast belief in God. God said it. God promised me that. I want it. A serious burden for God. I'm going to commit myself to God fully, completely. Everything that I have, I commit it to God. You know, we sing the song, "All to Jesus I Surrender." But I wonder if we really do. But and Caleb was a man with a strong boldness. I want that mountain. I want that mountain with those giants on it. Because God said I could have it. God promised it to me. And can I say to you this morning, because Caleb was a man of a different spirit, he experienced the supernatural blessings of God. He experienced the supernatural blessings of God. At 85 years old, he got that mountain. At 85 years old, he drove out those giants. He drove them out. Listen, God doesn't expect you to fight the giants. God will fight the giants for you. When you put yourself in the place of trust in God. Caleb experienced the supernatural blessing of God. And I believe with all my heart, God has incredible supernatural blessings in store for Liberty Baptist Church. God, the doors are open. God is not finished with this church. 196 years, that's great. But what are you going to do today? What are you going to do next week, next month, next year? You can't live in the past. We remember them. We treasure them. But we go forward. And as long as the doors are open, God has a purpose and God has a plan for you. A supernatural blessing for you. But will you say this morning, I want to be like Caleb. I want to be like Caleb. I want to be a man. I want to be a woman with a different spirit. With a different kind of spirit. A steadfast belief in God. God, I'm going to trust you. Things don't look good right now, but I'm still going to trust you. A serious burden for God. God, I'm giving you everything. I'm trusting you with all that I have. A strong boldness. God, if no one else is willing to take a step of faith, I will. If everybody else wants to be caretakers and undertakers, that's okay. I want to be a risk taker. I want to take a chance because I trust you. A different kind of spirit. Liberty Baptist Church is depending on you to be that kind of person. David's depending on you to be that kind of person. This community, the families in this community, depending on you to be that kind of person. And will you commit this morning to being that kind of person? A person with a different kind of spirit. David, would you come and close the service?
Great word for Liberty Baptist Church on our 196th homecoming. You know, before you can be a Caleb, before you can act like a Caleb, before you can do things like Caleb, before you can get the blessing that Caleb got, you got to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. And my question to you this morning is, and I know most of you here, some of you I don't, but I want to pose this question to you. Do you know Jesus in a saving way? Because that's the first thing you've got to do. You've got to know Jesus in a saving way. And this is what Jesus says to us. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's talking about spiritual rest from the burden of your sin. And so have you recognized in your life that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, Jesus Christ, to forgive you of your sins? And Jesus says, if you are, come to me and I will give you rest. And so this morning, I want to open up during our invitation time, the altar, that if you have never placed your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, that today that you will place your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. But Courtney, we know that's not all it means, don't we, to be a Christian? Because what we know is that once you've committed your life to Jesus Christ, once you've come to Him by faith and says, Lord, forgive me of my sins, He not only wants to be your Savior, but He demands to be your Lord. And that means that you have a serious burden for Him, a serious boldness for Him. And give me the last one, Bobby. Steadfast faith in Him. And I don't know if you heard this, but Bobby said you'll get the supernatural blessing of God at that point. So Jesus wants to be your Savior, but He's not just an insurance salesman that you just get out of hell. He wants to be the Lord of your life. And that was the message I heard today. So come to faith in Jesus Christ. Make that public profession of faith in Him. Be baptized and then live for Him as the Lord of your life. And that is what we need to do this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the wonderful, strong, powerful message today. Lord, that was meant for me. I needed it. And I give You praise for it. And Father, I know that it didn't only hit me, but I feel that it hit a lot of people in here today. That we need to seriously think about our lives and recommit our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He demands to be Lord, not just simply Savior of our life. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here in this place or online, that if they've never placed their faith in Jesus, God, that today would be the day of salvation for them, that they will make that publicly known, come forward to be baptized, and then, Lord, live for Jesus as Caleb lived for the Lord God in every way. And Lord, I just pray this prayer in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.